Hi, everybody. It's episode number 157 of the Vookcast. We're a podcast that talk about Nintendo things, so hope that's what you enjoy, because that's what we're having a chat about. I'm Stephen. I'm here with my buddy, Daniel. How are you, Daniel?
Hi, I'm here.
And also, Troy is hanging about. He's also here. How are you?
Yeah, I'm here.
Cool. So we're all here. We have
just affirmation.
Yeah, pretty much. So yeah, there's been some things happening. We're going to talk about those things. One of those is that the Miiverse has gone away, which is a bit of a bummer. I'll give a bit of background just in case we've got a bunch of new people that have come and only known about Nintendo from the Switch, which is probably fine. So Miiverse, it was a cool thing that you could share like little hand-drawn images or messages and have communities built around individual games, and some games like hooked into it to bring those images into the game, and it was super fun. But yeah, so as far as I'm aware, it's sort of just completely going away and you won't be able to access all the old stuff. Like, I read somewhere that there's a way to sort of archive your own posts or something. Have any of you sort of know any more about that?
I think you can sign up for it, but I think they're not giving that out until like November or December or something like that.
Okay. And I don't know, it seems it's a good thing that you can archive your own stuff, but I don't know, it seems a bit of a bummer that if you don't happen to know to archive your stuff now, then it's probably just going to be lost to time, which is a shame. Although
I'm really bummed about it, because a lot of those features would actually be really good on the Switch. Things like keeping a play journal.
Oh, yes.
I really liked that.
Yeah, I mean,
I barely used it because I didn't play much in the Wii U when that feature came out.
Yeah, it was a pretty late addition, but from memory.
Yeah, and also posting things to the Miiverse was a little clunky because the Wii U firmware was just so slow.
The whole Wii
you
U want
to talk about things
up.
Slow posting to the Miiverse, let's talk about the 3DS and Miiverse.
Oh, but don't you have
that one's a lot more understandable because it wasn't a built-in feature on launch.
Oh, but remember how like they touted the new 3DS's major feature, or one of them was the Miiverse will be a bit faster. It's still slow as molasses.
Oh, it died faster.
Speaking of dying faster, it seems weird that they're killing it off so quickly. Like, I don't know, the Wii U still exists, like you can still buy it in a shop.
The 3DS still exists.
Yeah, and will for the
I think that's the
future.
Weird part. It kind of shows that as Nintendo are saying, oh yeah, we're going to keep supporting the 3DS once the Switch is out for X amount of time. Doesn't feel like it's like, now it feels half-hearted.
I guess sort of with the 3DS...
Because they're dropping a feature.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, with the 3DS, I feel like the Miiverse was a little bit less integrated into the games on 3DS. Like, I don't remember any particular 3DS games where it pulled in Miiverse art to be part of the environment or anything like that, like the Wii U often had. So I guess getting rid of it's
like
not...
Smash Brothers or...
Yeah, like you'd have the art posts of characters that you're playing as, messages of support come up in the Miiverse stage, or... like art in Splatoon, which is still in Splatoon 2, but not via the Miiverse, which is an interesting workaround, but I'm kind of happy they did it.
I'm just sort of annoyed just how hard it's going to... You know, I used it for getting screenshots of Miiverse, of 3DS games. And, you know, it's a pain of a way to do it, but it's like... Now you can't.
But the 3DS, it was like the only way to really do it. You could still do it by posting... If the game supports screenshots, you can still do it. But if the game doesn't support screenshots...
Can you do... I remember there was that Nintendo image share where you could like share it to Twitter or Tumblr or other places. Can you still do that?
You can do that. But you can only do it for saved ones on the SD card.
Oh, okay. So
and the only way to get them is if the game supports it.
Oh, that's annoying, because not many do.
I'm at the very least hoping, you know, Nintendo seems committed to the 3DS for at least, you know, another year or so. So hopefully maybe they'll replace, like, here's a, you know, posting straight to Twitter or Facebook like you can on the Switch. just sort of replace the Miiverse icon with that, which would be cool.
I mean, I'd be happier if they just let you save to the SD card, like on the Switch. Like, I often take screenshots of games, I mean, often games that aren't out yet that I want to get screenshots of, but I can't post them to the Miiverse publicly. Or even just, I don't know, sometimes when I want to get personal screenshots and I don't necessarily want to throw them up on a social network, I just want to have them. It's kind of annoying having to go through that, but it's also better than nothing.
So I've got up here like a list of like some of the games and how they'll be affected. So just like with Mario Kart 8, you're not going to be able to upload to YouTube anymore.
Oh, really?
Replays. No, because that all went through Miiverse. Xenoblade Chronicles, the Blade Reports are going away, I think. Smash Brothers for Wii U, you won't get the Miiverse screenshots appearing in the background.
That's such a shame. That was one of the coolest things about that. Well, that stage, the reason I enjoyed it was all the cool messages. Like, you kind of couldn't play seriously because there'd always be some, like, ridiculous or kind of hilarious message would pop up and just completely distract you, which was good and bad, but I kind of loved it.
The Super Mario 3D World stamps you got, they're going to be pointless now, and you won't be able to just see, like, you know, people's messages on there. Mario Maker, they're going to have to do some stuff too, because they want to keep the level sharing in it, but at this point, that's all done through Miiverse, so apparently patch is coming to fix that. Splatoon is just going to be dead, because there's not going to be any Miiverse art around on the stage. The Wind Waker Tingle bottles going away. So just, yeah, all these little... It's not, you know, Miiverse wasn't just, you know, why can't Metroid crawl or whatever, or just, you know. It got used in a lot of games. Apparently Deus Ex used it. I don't know how.
I guess it'd almost be like playing all these games in an offline mode, which, I mean, the games will still work fine, but, yeah, you'll just miss out on the cool time-sensitive stuff, which is a shame, but I guess it
push
can't
my,
last
Push
forever.
My World and Mario and Donkey Kong Tipping Stars, you won't be able to share your custom-made stages anymore, so...
Hmm.
Bit of a bummer.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, it's bought, you know, for I loved the idea of Miiverse when they unveiled it. I thought, yeah, this is a great idea. It's like, you know, instead of doing stuff on, you know, social media gaming, they're just going to make their own sort of social media platform. And it, well, you know, it sort of did build its own unique community. And, you know, you'd see some of the posts and you'd like, oh, yeah, these are clearly kids posting who just don't sort of really get how it all works. But, you know...
I mean, even like then, it's probably better than them posting on Twitter directly.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, well, it's...
But yeah, I'm going to miss the not being able to screenshot 3DS games the most, so that's all I want.
I will consider it okay if they allow you to save directly to SD card instead, but that's not going to happen. You just won't be able to get screenshots off a 3DS anymore.
Again, 3DS is still going to be a thing. Like, there's still plenty of good games coming out for it. That sushi game.
Metroid. So yeah, it is kind of a shame that Miiverse is going away. But you know it's not a shame? Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle, apparently. Because apparently that's very good. So you guys have been playing it, as far as I can tell. I haven't touched it because time and money are factors in my life. Mm-hmm. But so how have you guys been finding it, I guess, starting with Daniel?
Troy.
Starting with Troy, I guess.
All right. Well, I got mine a couple of days late because EB... Anyway.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that Twitter debacle. But the game,
it was
though.
A weird thing with the pre-order. But it arrived in the same week, and I'm glad. And I'm really surprised, because when I first heard of the concept, you guys know, I was very against it.
Oh, we know.
And then I saw...
We have audio proof.
I saw the E3 stuff. Yeah. It's on record. And then I saw the E3 reveal, and I went, yeah, this could be good. And my expectations were still reasonable, but not excited. And then the game came out, and I started playing it, and it's really, really well made. Like, people are saying that you can definitely tell the passion involved in this project, and you really can.
The passion was so clear that the man cried. That's true passion.
That was so sweet. Because this guy was getting so much hate around the internet. Well, not him directly, but...
Just his idea.
Like, yeah, oh god, Rabbids, why are they in Mario? And then it was showed off and Miyamoto's on stage and everyone's applauding.
Just like, we love your little rabbit children, it's fine.
I didn't realise, I watched the footage again, it's Grant Kirkhope that's like sitting two seats down from him, like patting him on the shoulder and everything.
Oh, I didn't notice that either, I just focused on the emotional man.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, stuff like this, you can either go, like, the whole, with everyone turning against it before it's come out, like, you know, Metroid Federation Force, where just everyone just continues to ignore it, or, you know...
The difference actually... being that this is a good game, though.
Mate.
Well, I'll also argue that
I will come over to Adelaide and cut you.
Yikes. It's a genre that kind of works for the Mario franchise in a weird way, because it's... How do I say? It's not an incompatible genre. It's not like Metal Gear Survive, where they just turned it into a zombie thing for no reason.
Because people like zombies, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I guess, but, sort of speaking of, you know, how it fits Mario, sort of, how is it gameplay-wise? Is it the XCOM light that it kind of implied in the trailers? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, but more. Like, you know, XCOM...
It's more XCOM than XCOM? No,
I mean, It's got more to it than XCOM. I don't know. I've only played the first most recent XCOM, not XCOM 2. And with that, you know, it's just you're basically moving your guys around, doing objectives, shooting stuff, and moving to higher ground and all that. But with this, there's more to it. It's like, you know, you'll be controlling Mario, and then there's an enemy Rabid there. So you'll move him to the Rabid, do a slide attack, and then use the rest of your movement. Because I think when you do a slide attack, you get your movement back or something, Troy? Is that right? Or you can just... You can move back to anywhere.
Yeah, it doesn't really affect much. It's just, yeah. It's like it's a stop point in the middle of your movement.
So you can, you know, move Mario to where there's an enemy Rabid, do like a slide attack, and then move him to where one of your team members are, and then... use them to jump to move somewhere else, or if you've got like the upgrade that lets Mario do damage when he jumps, you can jump on another Rabid, do damage to them, and then hop over somewhere else and then shoot one. And it's just like setting up those amazing combos, and you can't do anything like that in XCOM. And it just sort of, you know, you spend a lot of your round just thinking, how can I tie together this great sort of combo attack and, you know, get rid of whatever this enemy is.
Yeah, those combos did look like particularly important and kind of exciting in the pre-release footage. Like,
well,
yeah.
I was just going to say that they're not just tools that you can use to build strategies around. The levels are actually designed around these different abilities of the characters. Like Luigi's, you got that team jump ability. Luigi gets one where he can team jump off two people in a row.
Okay.
So you can go even further, so you can kind of set it up. But the levels and the enemy design, because each enemy's got similar abilities to yours, but only like one or two.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So you got abilities, I think they showed off like Mario's one where he can attack on the enemy's turn if somebody moves in his line of sight.
So Mario can go to Overwatch, basically.
Yeah. But... Some rabbits can do that as well.
Okay.
And then some rabbits can also do the team jump, and then some rabbits, yada, yada, yada. They all got different things about them.
Well, like, there's this in the... I mean, I've only finished the first world, so I've only sort of... Oh, I've got done, like, a level in the second area. Like, you know, there's these big sort of bruiser rabbits that, like, if you shoot them, they'll run directly at you, even if it's your turn, so...
Yeah. You kind
of don't want to shoot them and have them get into range of you, because if they get into range, I'll hit you, and also do damage to anyone around you. So it's trying to...
You want to set it up so that you can take them out in a single shot.
Yeah.
So to speak, like using... Because as soon as you hit them, they start running. And if they start running, then Mario will shoot him because of his ability. And if he's a certain distance away, then he'll start running towards Mario.
It's tying all this sort of stuff together, and it's like... It is a surprisingly in-depth game. And, you know, not even getting to extra abilities. Like, I've gotten Luigi, but I haven't used him yet. But I've got the... he's got, like, a little robot or something that can follow him around, or
it's a drone, and he activates it, and it starts moving towards whatever enemy you target. And Rabid Peach has got the same thing. There's actually a lot of overlap between different characters.
Yeah, I've noticed it. Which is, you know, you've only got three guys. That. Yeah. We're only having three people at a time. You've got to sort of balance your skills around.
What I didn't realize is that Rabid Mario and also Peach their blaster is more like a shotgun, so it will just damage everything in a cone.
Okay.
And that's quite handy. Peach is actually a pretty good character. She's got that defensive streak about her, but she's also one of those characters that could probably get out of a tight situation, whereas yeah. Luigi's more of a sniper type character and a support. And then Rabbit Peach is like the most supporting one because she can heal and also shield herself. They all got different abilities for different purposes, and you're going to need to swap them all out for different levels.
Like, can you imagine yeah. 6 months ago hearing someone say the sentence, Peach has a shotgun that shoots in a cone, and Luigi is a bit more of a sniper character? Like,
well,
what the hell is going
on? They're not guns. They're not guns. They're like these sort of like armed... Well, they don't kill the rabbits. They sort of... They dismerge them or whatever they've...
Do they
you know,
white out?
Yeah, I guess...
And teleports them back to the castle.
The whole concept is that the rabbits world is kind of semi-merged with the Mushroom Kingdom. There's a rabbit that has this ability to merge things. So a lot of the enemies are like one of the mid-bosses in World 1, I don't think it's really a spoiler, is a piranha plant rabbit.
Oh, okay.
It's basically yeah. a rabbit wearing a piranha plant suit, and it's kind of cool. And I think a lot of the promotional art has been showing, like, Rabbit Kong, which is just a rabbit version of
yes.
Donkey Kong.
Yeah, I have seen that guy.
It's really... The attention to detail from the team at Ubisoft, like, I've seen Mario games with less, like, official Mario games with less attention to detail than this game has.
Oh, like the new Super Mario games.
Yeah, where they just kind of ignore a lot of stuff.
It does, from videos,
I'd
looks
say
like
it's on
really,
par
really
with,
really
like,
nice artistically.
Oh, it looks gorgeous. That's another thing, is that the graphics actually blow me away because the art style complements it.
Mm.
But holy crap, sometimes it looks like you've got a like, little plastic Mario figurine running around. It looks that good.
And like, I honestly didn't realize until this week that the music was all Grant Kirkhope, apparently. Like, how's that?
It's very Grant Kirkhope, but it's got like Mario elements to it as well.
Okay.
Like, did he do anything Donkey Kong, or...?
I know that he was... He did the DK
no,
rap.
He did
64.
But he did do Banjo, right?
Yes.
He did Banjo,
yeah,
and
I
know
can...
he did DK 64, and I think GoldenEye.
I can hear some banjo in there every now and then. Just, you know how, like, when you're
yeah.
walking through, like, the overworld in Banjo, and there's just these sort of random incidental background music tracks playing, and it just reminds
yeah.
me a lot of that.
But then Peach's Castle has the theme from Peach's Castle in Mario 64, yeah. but with that Grant Kirkhope sort of blend
vibe.
To it.
Yeah.
yeah.
It's like, yeah, I really want to finish it and keep playing it. But then it's also, I find it weird. It's not a game I can sort of sit down and play for long periods.
Yeah, the battles, because it requires a lot of thinking, I'm finding I'm doing
yeah.
like one or two levels and then
taking a break
it.
And...
And yeah. that actually works really well for the Switch, because if you're playing it handheld,
you can just pick
like
it
if you're
up,
on a bus or whatever. Yeah, it's got that 3DS level design philosophy.
Play a mission
Nintendo...
before you go to sleep.
Yeah.
yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't... It's. What do you mean on the bus, though, Troy? Like, it's not a game you're...
I mean, it's a game that you can play in, like... You could probably finish a battle on a bus trip to work or whatever.
Yeah.
It's got that short intermission about it. Because each chapter, so each world will have about 8 or 9 chapters, and each chapter has 1 to 4 levels in it, battles.
Okay.
And then there's also a bunch of exploring and puzzle solving and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's a ton of overworld puzzle solving. And there's like a lot of stuff I've seen. It's like, oh, you don't have the ability to do this thing yet, so come back later. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, it encourages backtracking a little bit in that regard, because you can also go back and try and get a perfect, which requires you to do it under a turn limit and have none of your characters get knocked out.
Which I've been nailing so far. The only one I sort of came close to, the one level I've sort of reset a few times on was the first one of those big bruiser rabbits.
Yeah.
Because that messed me up a lot. I couldn't really get my head around it.
That's the thing worth mentioning, is that it is a game where you're probably going to muck up a fair bit. Because the difficulty does ramp up disproportionately, I reckon.
I have heard that from a couple of people saying they got, I think, to like World 4 or something, and they just said, this is, where did this difficulty spike come from?
I'm up to World 3, and just the first level is requiring so many restarts because I keep on getting a character knocked out.
Oh, okay. So
all I have to do is defeat 10 enemies, but the guns that I have just fall short of a complete 1K KO.
Oh, okay.
1K, yeah.
I mean, games like this are basic. It's basically a chess game, so you need to sort of, you know,
you need to think carefully a couple of turns ahead. Yeah,
rushing in won't help you at all.
But that doesn't mean that you're gonna like make a lot of mistakes and learn from those mistakes. It's one of those games where failure isn't bad; it's part of the process.
I do wish that there was an option to sort of grind a bit.
I went back and did all of the challenges. Because once you finish a world, you can do special challenges, and there are a lot. Some of them are just defeat this many enemies or defeat all the enemies, but some of them get to this zone, and it's not straightforward. And I actually really enjoyed that. So definitely go back and do that, because coins, you get enough coins every now and then to buy one weapon, but when you have six characters to manage, where I'm at, you don't have enough coins.
So the most important question I have for you, Troy, about this is how are you finding the rabbit's humour? Because that was probably what was worrying you the most.
It's really mild. It's barely there. And like, there are actually really moments where I'm laughing at the rabbits. Yeah. Like, there's one part where Peach is looking at all the photos she's taking, and Rabbit Luigi's looking over her shoulder, and Luigi's trying to have a peek, and they just, like, shuffle away.
And it's just the way he sort of, like, slowly just... He's not moving, but he just sort of rises up behind him, and it's...
Yeah, it's like that creepy... It's got that... You know that Ouija meme?
Yeah.
From, like, Mario Hotel or something?
Oh, good Lord,
I think
it's
a bit of,
It looks like that.
It's a bit of, like, the Mario and Luigi humour. Especially when it's just Mario and Luigi in those games. It's more pantomime and them just sort of acting out what's going on. And like,
I love that.
Or, you know, like, the way that you actually defeat Rabid Kong is just, like...
That was quite ingenious. I really like that level.
But the cutscene after it, like, how... He actually sort of got defeated.
The best part that I like is also, that was funny where he's falling off the tower and she's taking photos. My favorite part is when the game introduces you to Peach as a playable character. Because she does the thing where she drops in on the parasol and then she just pulls this pose that's straight out of Bayonetta.
God.
Not risque Bayonetta, just like that
just
sort of
pose.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's a very self-aware game, and I can appreciate that. I think it knows it's a game that has no right to exist or be good, but it is.
So I guess what we've learned today, that rabbids are actually good, in fact, and we were wrong for doubting them.
I still don't want to play rabbids games, but this one's good.
Well,
just Rayman games.
The last thing we'll talk about today is there were a whole pile of indie games sort of announced and shown off over a couple of different presentations. It was kind of weird. They teased a big showcase, and then like the night before that was due to happen, there was like a 3-minute video that just appeared on Nintendo UK, and we're just like, is that it? But no, turns out there was just a whole bunch of them. There's probably too many to talk about now because we only have so much time and stuff. But what we've done, we've chosen a couple of the announcements that we each personally think are really cool, and we're going to go through them round robin style, in alphabetical order, because that's fair and good. Hello, doggo.
Hashtag shut up, dog.
So, Daniel, your name starts with a big old D, and that's the first in the alphabet. So, what's your first pick of cool Nintendo cross indie showcase video game?
I'm just going to go, Dragon Marked for Death was shown off. Now, apparently this is a game that had been shown a while ago for PSP or 3DS
or
something.
For PSP? That's a while back.
Yes, it is. So this is from Inti Creates, and, you know, guys behind the Blaster Master Zero, Mighty Gunvolt Burst, Azura Striker.
Did Inti Creates sure... have anything to do with Mighty Number 9?
Yes, but not completely. Okay. That was more of a concept thing. I mean, they've basically been a work for hire. That they're great at helping out with 2D stuff. Like they I think they helped out with the last few Shantae games. They did the Mega Man 9 and 10. So it's a studio formed of a lot of ex Mega Man team guys. So I love pretty much everything they've done. And this is like a sort of. It's another 2D side-scroller with their gorgeous sort of pixel art style, but it's more of a side-scrolling RPG, and it's got, I believe it's got online co-op play as well, so you choose Ooh. A class, and then your friends choose a class, and you go on quests together and all that. I think it's online. I should check that before
Yeah, the summary I have just says team up with up to three other friends. It doesn't say online or not, but let's assume it is. That would make sense, because that means we can play it with our friends.
And there's a lot of like different classes to choose from, so yeah.
Cool. Looking at the art style, it looks very Game Boy Advance era pixel art.
And that's what they do. I mean, they're very good at that.
Yeah, it looks really good. It's that. It's like the same level of graphics as Super Nintendo, but the gradients are just so much better.
Yeah, I think GBA might have had a wider color palette than Super Nintendo, and that's, I think, the vibe that you're getting.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, I mean, you know, the Game Boy Advance was basically a 32-bit 2D system, so...
It was exactly that.
Yeah. So, like, you know, I'm marking this down as just because there's never been an Inti Creates game that's disappointed me. I have faith in them to just keep delivering, and especially on the Switch so far, they've been on fire with, you know, like, Mighty Gunvolt Burst really sort of wiped the bad taste of Mighty Number 9 and gave Beck something decent to do.
And Blaster Master was really great.
Yes. And then if no one's played it yet, should definitely check out Azura Striker, Gunvolt Pack. Both of those are really fun games.
I am genuinely tempted by that. I feel bad because I own at least the first one on 3DS and I don't really want to buy it a second time and have the same, I intend to play this but I never do. But well, maybe.
Striker Pack's only coming out. I think we're only getting Striker Pack. I haven't heard that one or two are coming separately. I've got the Striker Pack on 3DS, so that's how
I thought Striker Pack was that. 1 and 2 together, or did I misread it?
Yes, yeah, it is.
Oh, okay.
But they're not releasing them separately.
Oh, right, okay.
So, yeah, I am super hyped for that. So
cool.
That's my number one.
Well,
and it's apparently coming out this year as well, so...
Hooray! Yeah, this winter, supposedly. So, summer, I guess, late this year. Cool. So, my first pick, because my name starts with S, and that's next in the alphabet. I've played this video game on my iPad, and it was called... It was called something weird on iPad. It was like, hide your game, mum hid my game, and I need to find it. It was some weird sort of broken English name. They seem to have localized it a little bit to just mum hid my game. This game is bizarre, but I loved it so very much, and I'm so happy that it's actually coming out on a platform that probably won't get ignored by most people. Basically, it's a series of logical puzzles. Basically, you're a kid and your mum has hidden your game, which basically is a DS, and it is somewhere. And you need to find it. And if your mum catches you trying to find it or looking through stuff, you'll get in trouble because you're not allowed to play your game. But it just gets so very, very ridiculous. Like sometimes there's just a crocodile in the lounge room because there's a crocodile in the lounge room who ate your DS and that's what you've got to do.
Sure.
Yeah. And I remember there was one puzzle of like you have to put a VR headset on your mum's face so that she gets like engrossed in some VR game and you can get your DS out from behind a cushion or something and sneak out before she stops playing the video game. It's ridiculously good. I have no idea if it's going to cost any money on Switch. I assume it will. It was like free on iOS, but they might have done a bit more to it to make it, I would pay money for it on iOS, so I'd be happy to pay money for it on Switch. And yeah, it's just a ridiculous, weird little game that I'm so happy is getting a release on a platform that, you know, will mean that more people that I've tried to convince people to play it on iPad, but a lot of people just don't, so they might play it here, and it's really fun, and I hope you enjoy the video game.
It's coming to 3DS as well.
Oh, it is too.
I was just going to say, it reminds me of that game mode in Game & Wario, where you have to do all the mini games and quickly hide it when your mum comes in.
It's sort of similar theme. It's like, just like inventory puzzles, and it's just weird, almost like an escape room kind of puzzle I heard someone describe it as. I guess it's kind of a little bit like that. But yeah, it's so much fun. I hope everyone tries that when it comes out. It's such a good, fun video game. Troy, what's your next or your first pick?
Well, the first one that they really showed off was Super Meat Boy Forever. And I adored the original Super Meat Boy. And I feel like the soundtrack is a huge part of that. But as gameplay, it was challenging. And it didn't really punish you for losing. Like, it just put you at the start of the level, like, instantly. There's no loading or checkpoints or anything like that. It's just...
Yeah, it was kind of the game that popularized... I'm sure it had happened in other games before, but it was the one where everyone realized that hard games aren't necessarily annoying games if you don't get punished by a loading screen every time you fail. Like, if you just go straight back into it, then you're okay to try again, because Super Meat Boy proved it.
Exactly. Whereas I think this one kind of behaves like an endless runner... It's not an endless runner, because eventually they do end.
but each level gets progressively
gets progressively harder and harder and harder. But it does it in a procedural manager, so it gives you levels that are kind of generated on the fly. They get more and more complicated and harder.
Oh, okay, so they are sort of procedurally generated rather than set levels?
That was what I gathered from their little conversation that they had.
Okay.
At like the proper kind of the Nindies at Night, I think it was.
Ah, right, the PAX thing. I didn't watch that.
Yeah. And it looks like it's got the charm. You can play as either Meat Boy and I think Bandage Girl, because you're trying to save their kid, which is called Nugget.
Just that's wonderful.
I love that.
Meat Boy, Bandage Girl, and Nug.
But yeah, it basically
should
it looks
be called
like an
Isaac.
Evolution.
Sorry.
It basically feels like an evolution on the Super Meat Boy. Like, instead of just being more Super Meat Boy, it's a new take on the gameplay mechanics are there. It's just in a new situation, I guess.
That idea of like a not necessarily endless runner, but like an auto runner platformer reminds me a little bit of the Rayman mobile games, and I loved those to bits. So if this is anything like that, but sort of Super Meat Boy difficult, then yeah, I'd be keen to give this a go.
Yeah, I just don't know if it's auto run.
Okay.
I should look into that. But it's got like the wall jumping and dodging scores.
Very Super
Mario. That could be like, you know, Super Mario Run.
That was auto run.
But you still had wall jumping and all of that.
Yeah, but Meat Boy's three times as fast, I reckon. But same idea, basically. Yeah, you're right.
Cool. That's apparently coming next year for the Switch, and I assume a lot of other consoles, but we don't really talk about those.
Switch
here.
First.
Oh, okay.
All I know.
That's cool then. Anything more?
Also
on
coming
Meat
to
Boy?
The Switch next year.
Yeah, what's your next pick coming to the Switch next year?
It's so this just sort of really caught my eye, because, you know, a problem I see with, like, you know, I like indie games.
Really?
But a lot of them seem to be like, you know, there's a lot of 2D platformers.
There sure are.
You know, and, you know, it's still, when you see an indie developer do something that's a lot more ambitious, and that sort of caught my eye with Malacca, which looked almost like Legend of Zelda sort of open worldy sort of thing. It's this, you're sort of playing like an Indian, I don't know if it's like, you know, North American Indian or sort of more the Central America Indian sort of stuff, but, you know, he's this like sort of Zelda Link action adventure game, and it looked cool.
Up screenshots, it's got that kind of the low poly look that I remember sort of seeing some really cool artwork done a few years ago by just like just general artists sort of experimenting with the look, and now I'm seeing that come to games, and I'm really, really happy that it's kind of almost that PS1, but not with broken, warped textures and low resolution. It's sort of, I guess, the same kind of thing that happened to pixel art. You can have it expressed so much nicer. It's like if you've got
an upscaler for an N64.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I'm sort of, this one just has a great look to it, and being more, you know, being like a sort of 3D action adventure game, it's like, ooh. And then, you know, there's, in the scenes he transforms to an eagle, and I'm assuming there's other stuff in there. I can't remember, like, the trailer was a week ago. But it just, I just saw it, and I'm like, I need that. I will buy all of that, because that just looks amazing.
I do wonder, like, looking at the little summary blurb that I found online, it sort of says that it's northern Mexico is the setting, and apparently it sort of has elements of the, I hope I don't butcher this, Tarahumara culture? Tarahumara? Yeah, that one. I don't know, it kind of, I remember I played Never Alone, and that was just a really interesting way to explore a completely foreign culture to me, and it kind of had the little, like, cultural stories that were sort of weaved into the game. And if this game does anything like that, I'd be really interested to see it. It was just, beyond just being a really decent game, it was just a really cool way to learn about a culture I didn't even really know existed. And if, yeah, that would be really cool to do that with this game as well.
And I mean, watching that, sorry.
I hope that eventually leads to something exploring Australian indigenous culture, because I find cool. That stuff. Yeah, it would be good to explore.
And I mean, like looking, you know, at the gameplay, like the combat looked very, you know, there's lock-on like Zelda and, like, you know, dodging and doing all that stuff. So I just think it's going to fill that niche that's like, oh. Which I find weird. A lot of people came to the Switch for Zelda, but there's been nothing really like that since, outside of Troll and I, and we all know how that went.
Cool.
I think it looks amazing.
Well, my second pick, I essentially picked this when rewatching the trailer earlier this evening, so I don't know much about it, but it looks really cool. It's called Nine Parchments, and apparently it's from Frozenbyte, so I don't know if it links into the Trine universe, I think.
Yes, it does. They said it's in the Trine universe.
Okay, well, that's cool. Trine was kind of fun. Triniverse,
the Trine cinematic universe.
Yes, but yeah, just the little tiny bit of footage we saw made it look like, there's this Steam game that I played with friends a couple of years ago called Hammerwatch, and basically it was a dungeon crawler game where each person had a different class, and it was kind of got very difficult very quickly, but it was just such a really fun multiplayer dungeon crawl. You die and you start over again sort of thing. And this, the little bit of footage reminded me of that, and for that reason and that reason alone, I'm kind of keen to see what this plays like. It sort of looked like you'd have up to four players, and you're just playing around with different magic spells and all cooperating against bosses, and I assume going through levels up until those bosses. And yeah, that could be a really fun game, especially, I don't know, if I visit friends, bring my Switch over, I've got my own screen, they've got their screen, and we just hang out and shoot things with some magic, and that could be fun.
So I'll be honest, when I first saw the little trailer for it in the Nindies thing,
yeah,
it looked just like a lot of other Steam games that I see.
Yeah. Just
that fantasy, but not that colorful high fantasy kind of style.
I think what it immediately made me think of, and I kind of tuned my brain out
when it happened.
Does it make you think of, like, Magicka? I think that's the first.
Not even.
Okay.
I just see a lot of games with this art style in particular, and I just assumed it was going to be one of them, but now that I know it's Frozenbyte and I actually really enjoyed the Trine games and I'm looking into it, this actually might be a buy for me.
Yeah, it didn't look like it had any sort of like puzzle elements, because Trine was sort of very much built around each character having different abilities and stuff, and it doesn't look like it's the same as that, but I don't know. I'm just a fan of getting, you know, if it lets, you know, it looks like you can get up to four people. I usually get, you know, two or three and just blast through a mindless game. It's, yeah, that's something I enjoy doing every now and then, so I'm keen.
Yeah, looks good.
Yeah, so what are you keen on, Troy, my boy?
So this is a game that I've been keen on. I think it was announced even before the Switch or during the Switch thing, I can't remember, but SteamWorld Dig 2, I am so keen for. I thoroughly enjoyed the first one. If you're not familiar with it, you're basically just digging for resources and then using those resources to upgrade so you can dig further, which sounds like an oversimplification, but the atmosphere and the gameplay, because it's a platformer, it's just satisfying digging through things, fighting enemies. I don't know what it is. It's just, you can almost switch your brain off and just play and enjoy and explore.
I think what really grabbed me about it, aside from everything that you mentioned, which is all wonderful things about it, but you kind of created the layout by digging through it, and because you had to, you'd have like teleport points partway through, which helped a bit, but a lot of the time you would spend going back up and forth through the like tunnels that you had created, and you kind of get familiar with your own little paths, and it's just really fun to do.
And when you die, it kind of just drops whatever you were carrying at that point, but it doesn't revert anything, so you have to kind of, if you kind of dug yourself into a bad place and die, you can kind of come back and try a different approach to come to that same point so that you have a way out. Or,
and often you would get like new abilities as you go so that you could, I don't know, you'd have this part that might have been particularly annoying to get through or just slow, and then you get like a wall jump and suddenly it's easier
it's
to get through.
It's basically a Metroidvania.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. It's a Metroidvania game. And I know that's starting to turn into like the Dark Souls of X type thing, but it really is. It has elements of it,
I think. Like, you get intimately familiar with the location, I think, is the biggest Metroid-y element for me.
Well, especially getting back to the original SteamWorld, SteamWorld Dig, it's kind of a Metroidvania and kind of not, because the worlds in that are procedurally generated. Each run through would be different. So it couldn't be a true Metroid, you know, it can't be, because you've got to be able to navigate everywhere based on what skills you have at that point.
It's a Metroidvania in that you upgrade your stuff so that you can navigate more.
It's a roguelite Metroidvania style.
Oh my god, you just got our SEO working really well. Roguelike Metroidvania.
All of these genre names that are just based on other game names.
It's a Doom clone, roguelike Mario clone.
So, I mean, I know we talked about this back when it was originally revealed, but I'm still surprised that they are just doing another, like, because with all the SteamWorld games, it's been SteamWorld Defense was a tower defense game, and then SteamWorld Dig was the platformer, and then SteamWorld Heist was like a turn-based strategy game, and then, well, obviously SteamWorld Dig was always has been their most popular one, so they're going back to that, but part of me is like, oh, I like it when you do new things, because all three of your games so far have been really good.
I think, which is fair, Dig really
but
put
I want
them
to revisit SteamWorld Dig. Yeah. Like, the first SteamWorld Dig was kind of intensive.
And this might set up the story about how we got to SteamWorld Heist as well. And I like that they've built this universe, and it's got like a pretty sort of interesting dark story behind it. Like, all the, If you ever play SteamWorld Defense, all your monsters, the creeps, whatever, that are trying to get to your gold mine, look like zombies, but then it's like, no, they're actually still real humans. They're just basically so stupid and inbred that they're just trying to steal your gold. And it's this storyline about how the humans just relied too much on the robots, so they got stupid, and then the robots took over, and it's like a...
Yeah, it's sort of really cool thing to discover in the first game as well. Like, the deeper you go, the more of like old civilization you start to see. Yeah. It was a really cool progression.
Yeah, it was a really solid game that was just pure fun for me.
And the big thing about it was it's coming out in just a few weeks, September 21st.
Yeah,
nice.
I'm gonna wear my Switch out with that game.
Cool. So that's our round robin, but there are a couple of other games that we probably think are worthy of mention. So we're going to break the rules a little bit. Daniel, what were the ones that you thought worth mentioning that you didn't have on your top two?
So I'm just going to quickly, I'm going to save the big two for everyone else to go on about. I'm just trying to load them back up because I closed the window down. What was it? The elephant. Shut up, we'll get there in a minute. Floor Kids, that looks really cool. I have no idea how it plays, but the music was just so... just. I loved watching that trailer. And also how the little characters move in it looked really cool. Morphe's Law, plus one for an amazing pun in the title, and a really sort of interesting third-person shooter in that, you know, you shoot... If you shoot someone's arm, their arm will get smaller, but yours will get bigger. So it sort of punishes you for being good at the game, and if you're bad at the game, it makes it easier for you, which I thought that's sort of an interesting sort of gameplay
mechanic.
It's like
an inbuilt balancing sort of thing.
Yeah, I like that. Yono and the Celestial Elephants... That looks so adorable.
Oh, the Zelda?
Yeah, pretty much. It looks like a proper sort of old 2D Zelda.
That looks extremely cute.
I know, and you can harass chickens in it.
Game of the year.
I think that was sort of it for me outside of the big sort of two.
Well, feel free to go on to the big two as well.
Well, hello, Travis Touchdown, and... Bloody No More Heroes. Like, no one knew this was so close. Like, when Suda did his reveal back at the Switch event, everyone's like, oh, okay, cool. So we'll find out about this next year. And it's like, nah, lol, here it is 6 months later. It's like, what? And then, you know, everyone's like, oh, it's just going to be an indie game collection. And then he's like, no, it's a full, proper No More Heroes game.
Is it?
It's just inspired by indies.
Oh, okay.
Shovel Knight is going to be in it.
Yeah, I did hear about a lot of, like, unusual, unexpected... Miami? Yeah, Hotline Miami parts of it, which is kind of awesome, but I did not expect
that. Means that those games come to Switch, because I still haven't played them, and I want to.
Oh, my goodness. Hotline Miami...
I think the second one's banned.
It absolutely clicked with me when I played it on a Vita, just because I didn't have to sit at a computer, so that would be perfect on Switch as well, because Switch is basically a better Vita.
And apparently, that'd I think, like, the story... From one way, it sort of disregards No More Heroes 2, or sort of just...
I think it happens between the two.
Yeah, like, Bad Girl, was she from No More Heroes 1?
Yeah.
And then you're fighting her dad he's fighting his dad in the her dad in the trailer, and then they get sucked into a game console, a la the new Jumanji film. and then wackiness ensues from there. So, I mean, I'm kind of... I will be a bit bummed if it's not the whole, you know... lots of wacky different bounty hunters, but you know,
Bin Katana,
that's gonna
be back.
That's like, oh my god, wow, just like then. And then, also the final Shovel Knight DLC, King's Knight's Quest.
But the real news as part of that,
is that there's gonna be a card battling game as part of it. So,
they're doing a Valve.
Yes.
They're doing a Valve,
but
doing
yeah,
a Blizzard.
We're getting more Amoebas. I mean, Amiibos.
Amoebas.
In an amazingly produced Game Grumps trailer for them, which everyone needs to watch. And try not to get too aroused while watching it.
These Amiibo, I was thinking for like the longest time, I really wish... they make Amiibo of all the characters that they do these DLC chapters for. Mm. And here we are. Yep. They've done exactly that.
So you've got Plague Knight, King Knight, and what was the last
Spectre
one?
Knight.
Spectre Knight.
Spectre Knight, Edgelord, Vincent.
He's not. Did you finish
really
it?
Good.
Did you finish the Spectre Knight quest?
No.
Okay. It was quite... You know, this is the... Every single bit of Shovel Knight... release so far has just been amazing. They haven't made a bad... Like, even... Like, Plague Knight was so much fun to play. Spectre Knight was just great. And then... Like, just give me more. I don't... You know, I kind of don't want a Shovel Knight 2. Just give me all of the Order of No Quarter.
You know what I want for Shovel Knight 2? It's for them to explore the N64 era of video games with Shovel Knight.
Make it just like Castlevania 64.
I wouldn't be surprised if we find out about that next year.
I think they said they wanted to explore something like that in a Reddit AMA, being like, we don't want to revisit Shovel Knight. We've spent way too much time in it just to get all the Kickstarter goals done.
Yeah.
But they want to do different genres, and one of them is definitely if they explore like the N64 era of video games, with or without Shovel Knight, I don't even care. That would be awesome. Yeah, new Amiibo.
More things to put in your house and more things to drain your wallet.
More shelves.
Are these the only guys to have done, the only third parties to have done Amiibos?
No, there's the Skylander ones.
Weird half Amiibo.
Yeah. Ugh, they look terrible.
So, I mean, anyone worried about the Switch not having any games apparently can go bugger off, because we've got a good few months ahead of us.
I don't know of any games on the Switch.
It's called though, Shenron Kagura.
On that, I like how the Switch now has more exclusive titles in under a year than the Xbox has had in its entire life or something like that.
Oh, that wouldn't surprise me at all. Like, you could make up that stat and I wouldn't doubt it. Xbox is...
Like, I know this could lead into a whole nother hour of discussion, so I don't really want to go there. But, like, we're only just 6 months into the Switch, and, like, it's been so good.
Actually, speaking...
It's been good on all fronts.
Yeah, it's been... outside of, like, you know, what we talked about last week with the actual firmware and all that of the system, it's been great.
I'm sure that'll come. Like, the more popular the Switch gets, the more likely they're going to be updating it and supporting it, unlike the Wii U firmware.
I hope so. Which
didn't get anything.
It got TV, and then it got taken away.
Daniel's clearly very tired, so I guess we should finish up.
Sorry, I don't know.
That's fine. But yeah, that does kind of lead into very nicely the site wrap-up, because I hope we can announce this. I'll have to check and edit this out if we can't. But I believe that there's a sort of a six-month wrap-up, sort of all the cool things that have been happening with the Switch thing happening on the site in the near future. So if we're allowed to talk about that, then look forward to it. If not, then you won't hear this. So cool. But yeah, if you want to go to that website, it's vooks.net. It's books, but with a V. Yeah, we've got a whole bunch of reviews of Switch games. Slime Sun, which you've already heard me talk about, but I wrote words about it.
I talked about it too.
Oh yeah, you did too.
God.
Devilish Brain Training, a review like that happened.
A Miitopia review finally went up.
Oh yeah, yeah, there's that. Puzzle Adventure Blockle and Pixel Lions DX. There's lots and lots of weird little sort of small scale games on the Switch, and we're reviewing them all, so you know if they're decent. But yeah.
Even a review of Troll and I.
Yeah, that if you want to know if that's decent, there's a review for that. But yeah.
Spoilers, it's not.
Spoilers, it's what?
It's not.
Aww. Well, but yeah, so that's been this episode. I think we'll probably chop it off there like the dinosaur daddy. But yeah, so if you want to follow any of us on the social internet machines, I'm at Stephen Impson. Troy is at Stew Review. Daniel is at Worth Nintendo. They will all be in the show notes if they're difficult to spell, and they'll just be links. You can click on them and find all of us. But yeah, thank you extremely much for listening. I don't know about everyone else, but I really appreciate it. I assume the other guys do too. But yeah, that's it.
Eh.
Yeah, appreciate it a little bit, Troy.
Yeah.
Cheers, mates.
Yeah.
but yeah, so we'll be back in about a fortnight's time. We'll probably talk about some video games then as well. But until then, hope you have a good day, night, evening, or whatever time that it is right now. Hope everything is happy and nice for you.
Yeah, we're worried about you.
Yeah, go just take some care time of yourself. Out.
Look after yourself.
Make sure you eat
Be
well.
Be nice to everyone.
Try and get
on a holiday.
Try and get some good sleep. Just
should I go on a holiday, Troy? But in a few weeks, you think?
Yeah, I reckon you should go to Japan.
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, you've talked
or
about doing
that.
Stop over
at K, Illinois. Yeah.
So yeah, bye everyone.
Bye.
Bye.